The Israel Report with Rolene Marks.
Okay, well, that's very good. That's the most Hebrew conversation you and I have ever had. Maybe we leave it right there. What's going on in Israel, Rolene?
It could be the most Hebrew conversation I've ever had.
Okay.
Kidding. I wish I could start this broadcast off on a more positive news, but in addition to yesterday's broadcast or yesterday's news update about the two people that were killed in a tragic crash when a light aircraft crashed near Rahat in the Negev, we do have those on board identified as Major Itai Zaiden and Corporal Lihu Ben Bassa. This was during an Israeli Air Force training or maneuvers exercise, and at the moment military investigations are still underway. Investigations of this kind haven't happened since 2008. We're still trying to discover whether it was pilot error or whether it was technical error. And in the meantime, the commander of the Israeli Air Forces, Amikam Norkin, has grounded all training flights.
Wow, that is really tragic news, and I hope we hear the last of that for a very long while. What seems to be happening quite often is the IDF striking in Syria.
Well, this has happened, and then there is a very curious headline in the Times of Israel that says that the IDF are preparing for a possible U.S. strike on Iran, on Iran in Trump's last days of business. Now, they have gone on, the Times of Israel has gone on to say there's no specific knowledge of a planned attack. Nobody really knows, but what we do know is we are in a sensitive period. And last night, the IAF is alleged to have struck targets within Syria. And this is in response to the ever encroaching of the Iranians on Syrian territory to try and launch an attack possibly on Israel. And during the course of the day, the IAF have dropped leaflets on Syrian civilians telling them not to believe Hezbollah, not to get into leagues with Hezbollah, don't cooperate with Iran and Hezbollah. Now, of course, this gets our alarm bells ringing because, you know, we know what happens whenever the IAF do drop these kind of leaflets. But I don't want anybody to read anything into it. What the IAF are saying, and it is written in Arabic, is they are saying we will not allow anyone to upset the stability here, and that if needed, we will take any action against Hezbollah and Iranians at any time as needed. We also have it confirmed that the eight people who were killed by these alleged airstrikes last night are Iranian or at least pro-Iranian foreign fighters, and Israel has appealed to the UN Security Council to try and do something, intervene in the Iranian presence in Syria. So things are very, very alert. We're not going to read anything that there will definitely be some kind of U.S. strike on Iran, but we are in a state of preparedness. And according to a report by an organization called Axios, they say that while they don't have any specific information that an attack is imminent, the Israeli Air Force are preparing. Maybe they know something we don't.
Absolutely fascinating. And, you know, for some reason, up on my feed last night popped up a picture of some very super fancy, sophisticated U.S. jet dropping a bomb never been seen before. And you just wonder, well, why is it that that plane was caught now dropping a bomb for exercise purposes? And who knows, Rolene, maybe you're onto something there. Who knows? No doubt you'll keep us updated. But a very important issue as well is this issue of elimination of violence against women. Israel, it seems, in light of what happened in Cyprus and what happened in Eilat, does seem to have an issue which they need to grapple with. What are they doing to stop violence against women?
First of all, let's be very clear. It's the international day of the elimination of violence against women. This is a day that the United Nations has designated to raise awareness and to deal with gender-based violence. And I know it's not just an issue here in Israel, it's an issue around the world. It's also not an issue that just pertains to women. It is a societal issue and one that needs to be dealt with as such. And I think what Israel is doing, which is different to some of the countries where I've been speaking to some of my colleagues through my WITA work, there are some European countries that would rather not talk about it. They feel they have the institutions in place to deal with it. But Israel has made this a very, very public issue that we are dealing with. And I'm very proud that an organization like WITA, which is the Women's International Zionist Organization, is leading the lobbying efforts and the demands for action, as well as practical action, along with organizations like Na'amat. Na'amat is the woman of arm of the Histadrut, of the labor forces, and other women's organizations to deal with this. And there has been a very, very vocal campaign against this all week, including legislation that was passed in the Knesset today, one to limit the firing of women who are staying in shelters, and the other rejecting granting child custody to a parent convicted of the murder of the child's other parent. Now, this year, Israel has lost 20 women to gender-based violence. And I know that some of you sitting in South Africa might think, but that's a very low number compared to other parts of the world. But, you know, it's 20 women too many. And just moments ago, President Rivlin meeting with representatives from organizations, also adding his voice. You know, he has met with two women who he's awarded for helping victims of assault, Adi Guzi and Shiri Mandelbaum, who both defended women when their partners attacked them. And he said, for too many women, home is a hell, home is fear. It is tense silence that could turn into threat, humiliation, and the next beating. Violence is not just the punch. Violence is the power of words to humiliate and ridicule. And he goes on to speak about that. And why it's particularly important this year, and the United Nations has made this a very, very focal point of their campaign this year, and it's a very focal point of the combined efforts of Israeli organizations this year, is that because as we see the coronavirus pandemic spread around the world, and as many people go into lockdown, so too are many people in virtual prisons with their abusers. And I can speak from our perspective that our hotlines are at absolute capacity. In fact, a report published by WITSO today shows the statistics are absolutely staggering. Domestic violence is up by 300%. Wow. And this is something we have to be very cognizant of. WITSO runs the only two men's hotlines in Israel, in fact, in the world, where men who are perhaps perpetrators of domestic violence can phone and get help before they act. But I know for many women in South Africa, and it's not an issue that affects women from a certain socioeconomic group, it's an issue that affects women and children and some men across various socioeconomic groups and strata. It's something that is still seen as having taboo and having stigmas. If anybody who is listening is a victim of domestic violence, please reach out wherever you are. I know that there are helplines available in South Africa that will help you get the help that you need. But one thing that Israel is doing, and I hope many countries follow examples, is being very, very vocal about this, very vocal about what happened in Eilat, as you so rightly said, very vocal about what has happened in other places in the country. Jewish women, Arab women, women from different economic groups, and tonight, major buildings across the country, including the Iria in Tel Aviv. Of course, we would expect nothing less. The Teddy Kollek stadium in Jerusalem. Hospitals across the country will be lighting up in red to say, die, stop, enough.
So interesting, because yesterday you and I were speaking about the fact that Israel is the best place in the world for female entrepreneurs. You think about the women's role in the army, how many women have done incredible things stopping infiltration. You would have thought almost automatically women would have had more respect in Israel. I'm not sure that that's translating into facts on the ground.
But I don't think, again, that it's just an Israel thing. I think that it's a societal issue, and while we do have these incredible areas of achievement, we also, and one area of achievement I think is that we are so vocal as Israeli women to be active, to be very, very proactive, to make sure that whether it's in the Knesset or at a shelter, or in the army or in business, that we are vocal, but not everybody is as lucky as we are. And there might even be women amongst this group who, while they are being as vocal as possible, are still victims of some kind of abuse.